I just want to touch on a few thoughts about the theme drawing power from the resurrection of Christ. And I want to use the text that was read before as a background. I will not repeat the whole text again. But usually during Easter season, you see a lot of, and you hear a lot of things over the airwaves about Easter and about the story of Jesus, and a lot of TV programs and documentary. When you hear this word, there's a documentary on Jesus's life. I used to be very curious about what they had to say until I got very disappointed, and I was getting a little upset with the documentaries, because usually during Easter time we are besieged by the world and by the skeptics and by the deniers and the unbelievers with scandalous attacks against the divine power of Jesus Christ and his resurrection. I remember the time when the Da Vinci Code was a big issue. It was a movie, and the whole story was, the whole purpose was to make the whole gospel story very controversial. And then there was the Gospel of Judas that followed a year or two later, and that was brought up, and how the whole story of Judas betraying Jesus, it was totally different, and they distorted the report that we have in the Bible, and then also the ABC series called the Jesus Papers. And they claim to have found old parchment papers, pieces where they say, well, this puts the gospel in doubt. This is not according to what the Christians believe. And then the whole purpose is to doubt the whole gospel of Jesus Christ, even doubting the resurrection. And there was even an attempt to find the body of Jesus. Imagine this, to find the body of Jesus and say, well, these bones, they could have been Jesus, but we're not sure. We don't know about the DNA and so forth. Now, the purpose that the world does this is not only to bombard us and to attack the Christian faith. The purpose for this is to make people doubt. And remember, this is the tactic of the enemy right from the beginning. The first temptation in the Garden of Eden, when we remember that story, how all Satan did was make Eve doubt the Word of God. And if the enemy is doing that today, to doubt the gospel message, you really need to pray about it. You really need to search your heart. Because the main reason I believe that the world is doing this controversial stuff is it makes a lot of money for them. And my point always is, follow the money. Where the money is, that's where they will emphasize. Whether it's true or not, it doesn't matter. And there's with other issues too in life. But I want to do emphasize here that, first of all, in this text, we see the living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We do have a living hope. I want you to just think of that for a few minutes, or maybe a few moments. A living hope. Not a hope that has been shattered, not a hope that has been crushed and has died, but a living hope that is in us, that will be with us for all eternity, because when we meet Jesus, of course, hope will no longer be needed, because then we see what we have believed. But as long as we live, hope keeps us going. Hope is the key of the Easter story. And we have resurrection hope here in 1 Peter 1, verse 3. And remember in Acts chapter 2, that was Peter's sermon. So in 1 Peter 1, verse 3, Peter says, God has begotten us again to a living hope. How? Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. That is our living hope. Our faith is not built solely on, yes, we were sinners, we are forgiven. Our faith is completely anchored and built upon the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So if Jesus is not resurrected, Paul says, then our hope is not real. If Jesus is not resurrected, our faith is in vain. Our forgiveness is not really there. If Jesus is not resurrected, loved ones, then you and I still live under the guilt and the heavy burden of that sin that we committed. Do you feel that heavy burden? Do you feel the sin of the past in your life today burdening you suppressing and depressing feelings? No. We are lifted up because we know we have been forgiven. Our sins are washed because Jesus has risen from the dead and given us this living hope. I want to tell you a story here. A father and his little daughter were on the road. They were staying in a hotel. And during the night, the little girl became very ill. And without warning, she just died. The father was heartbroken. He had already lost his wife. And now his precious little girl was gone. Because of the circumstances, only two people followed the body to the cemetery, the father and the minister. The father's grief was great, and at the grave, he took from his pocket a key, unlocked the casket, and looked on the face of his child once more. Then silently closed the casket and handed the key to the keeper of the cemetery. On the way back to the city, the minister quoted Revelation chapter 1, verse 18. He wanted to comfort the father. And the words of Jesus there are, I am the living one. I was dead, and behold, I am alive forever and ever, and I hold the keys of death and Hades. The grieving father asked, what is that key all about? The minister said, it means you think the key to your little girl's casket is in the hands of the keeper of the cemetery. But let me tell you something, it's not true. The key to your little girl's grave hangs on the side of the Son of God. Then the light broke through the man's grief and tears, and he saw the glory of the resurrection hope. That is what we have. This is the greatest treasure, the greatest comfort that we have, that Jesus holds the key to death and Hades. He is Lord of all of life and death. The Alpha, the Omega. He was dead, but he lives forevermore. That is our hope. Hold on to that. Because if Jesus is our hope, is the resurrection hope, it also gives us victory in all that we do. Christ's resurrection gives us the assurance that all we do in the name of Jesus for his purpose will be victorious. Our fruit will be there. If we remain faithful, of course. So don't doubt yourself. If you live in self-doubt, look upon the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. People wonder where they can get power to witness. And this was the key in the book of Acts. This is what Acts chapter 2 is actually all about, is the power that the apostles had to witness unto the name of Jesus Christ, to witness to the resurrection of Jesus. And he said in Acts chapter 2, verse 22, men of Israel, Jesus was a man accredited by God to you with miracles, wonders, and signs which God did among you. Now, it's the interesting point here is that these people had not really known Jesus as the Messiah. He had lived among them for over 30 years, and they didn't know him. And oftentimes it is like this. Even now, as John the Baptist once said, he is among you whom you do not know. He is resurrected, and we act like he is dead. As someone mistakenly once said, if Jesus would know what's going on in his church today, he would turn around in his grave. Hey, wait a minute. He will not turn around in his grave. He is not in the grave. He is alive forevermore. And we as his church need to proclaim this. We need to ask God to get the power to witness unto the resurrection of Jesus Christ and say, he is alive in my life. It is real in my life. It's not a fake thing. It's not a religious thing. It is a relationship that I have with the risen Lord and Savior who lives forevermore. And who also has said, I will live even if I die. So we can tell people, if I die today or tomorrow, I will live. Why? Because he lives. And I live in him. So we don't have to fear it anymore. You see, the resurrection shows us the fulfillment of God's plan. Sometimes people need to be reminded, or maybe history needs to be reinterpreted to them one more time. What has actually happened in the past? What has been fulfilled of all the prophets? And this is the authority that witnesses to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. All that was prophesied in the Old Testament about our risen Lord and Savior has been fulfilled, so we can solidly believe it with all our hearts. Because God does not lie, and his word doesn't lie. The resurrection shows the mysterious ways that God's will unfolds in history and in your and in my life. We can learn to know God's will. And I know some theologians may say it's very difficult to find out God's will. It's very complicated to find out what God really wants. You see, the Jewish elders had rejected Jesus Christ. First of all, they did not see that he was the Messiah. They didn't interpret the scripture. These were, as we would say today, experts in the scriptures. These were scribes. These were very educated men and women of the Sanhedrin that knew the scriptures, yet they didn't see the connection between Jesus and the scriptures. They missed that link. Why? Because he did not meet their expectations. And here's a deadness that we are confronted with so often. We have our own expectations of how Jesus should work in our lives. We have our own expectations and ideals and visions of what God's will may be for our lives. And then when those expectations are not met, we are disappointed and act like Christ died all over again and he is not risen yet. And we can miss the importance of living in the present with Jesus Christ, the resurrected Lord, and enjoying our relationship with him in the sense that we are a blessing to others, that his salvation bears fruit in our lives. So we need to ask the Lord to help us to fix our emotional, our mental, our spiritual energies on following Jesus' footsteps, keeping focus on Jesus and alone him. Only him alone, because he will show us the way. He is the way. Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the door to heaven. And there is no other way. The power of Christ also helps us to conquer sin and the hopelessness of death and eternal judgment. Now, I know this is controversial in our day and time to say that all who do not believe in Jesus Christ as their Savior will be judged on the day of judgment. But isn't that what the Bible says? Should we water it down and say, well, Jesus is going to make exceptions here and there, and he understands everything. He understands that people that are against him, that believe something else, that they can still go to heaven and things like that. No. The Bible tells us clearly that there will be judgment. But through the power of Christ, you and I can conquer sin. You think there's no victory over sin? Yes, there is. The resurrection of Jesus Christ made that possible. You think there's no power over death? Yes, there is. Death, where is your sting? It is not there. It is, we have victory in Jesus Christ. Even if we die, we know that we fall asleep, but we will rise up again. Peter said this, David was a prophet who knew that God had promised him that he would place one of his descendants on the throne. Seeing what was ahead, he spoke of the resurrection of Christ. It's very important to understand the scriptures here rightly. David's promise, what he saw in the Psalms, when he wrote these messianic Psalms, he wrote about Jesus, and he wrote about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And that is the key where Jesus has ascended to the throne of David forever and ever. Because it couldn't be an earthly king that dies, because it wouldn't be the same king then. It would be generations of kings. It was one king David saw that would be on his throne, and that was the Lord Jesus Christ after the resurrection. So we need to ask the Lord to help us to gain greater insights into this hope that the old prophets had, so that we can have power in everyday life. Everybody wants power. But you know, power comes through our relationship with Jesus, the resurrected Lord. Power comes through the love that he bestows on us, that he sheds abroad into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. Power comes through our love for him, through our love for his word. So we need to ask the Lord to help us to achieve the things in our lives and in our ministry, in our prayers, as he has promised it, because he wants to fulfill all his promises. The last point here, the resurrection power encourages you and me to remain faithful to God. You know, a lot of Christians started their Christian walk as believers like a sprint. You know, when you read about and you hear about leopards and tigers and even lions, they cannot run marathons. They can be very fast, extremely fast, but only for a very short time. And then if they didn't kill their prey, if they didn't make it, they collapse and they're totally exhausted. And this is how Christians often start their Christian walk. They jump forward, they have all this energy, and all of a sudden they're totally depleted. But God wants us to draw power from the resurrection of Jesus Christ, to stay faithful to him every single day. Whether we feel like it or not, we open the Bible, we read it. Whether we feel like it or not, we bow our knees in prayer and say, Lord, I don't feel like praying right now, but I just kneel down to tell you that I don't feel like praying. Is that wrong? No. But don't be governed by your feelings. We need to step in faith, because the righteous shall live, what? By faith, right? Not by feelings. Sometimes we mix it up. Don't pay too much attention when you feel dark moods come over you. And sometimes you need to ask, if you have these feelings of sadness and these feelings of gloom and these feelings of fear, you need to fall on your knees then and just ask, Lord, why do I feel this way? Lift this cloud off of me. Give me some kind of sunshine. Give me some kind of ray of hope. Let the resurrection hope just shine again into my heart that I can remain faithful to you. But always be ready. If we have done something wrong, if we have offended the Lord, always come in an examining way before the Lord and say, Lord, if I have sinned, remind me. And if you know that you have done wrong or you said something wrong, you lied or you gossiped or you stole or you did something wrong, that you then confess and say, Lord, you are the risen Lord, and I don't want to do this ever again. I don't want to say this ever again. I want to serve you. I want to glorify you because you are risen and you will help me. And I guarantee you, if you pray like that and you humble like that, the Lord will give you that power. And that is for everyday life, for everyday power in Christ. Christ's resurrection teaches us that we should not take control of our own lives, not control our own destiny, because through the resurrection, our destiny is controlled by the risen Lord and by his Holy Spirit in us and his word that guides us. Let's keep this in mind this Easter. Christ is risen from the Lord. He's risen indeed from the dead, and he has achieved a victory for you and me. We do not have to go around moping and be in bad mood or bad attitudes. We can be joyous. We can express that joy to one another, encourage one another. He lives, and he lives forever. Amen.